Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for
this nation. Under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Good Wednesday evening to you. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and you're listening to Lisa Payne Nager. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour, and that intro music was just a little livelier today. The skies have parted. The sun is shining. Everything is better because I don't have to tell you that Scott Walker won his recall election last night by a pretty good margin in that pretty blue state. Rebecca Clayfish, same thing. Walker 53-46%, Rebecca Clayfish 53-47%. We're all just, I'm doing the happy dance here in St. Louis, in St. Charles County. Everybody that I know is doing the happy dance. I think that this is a bellwether election. I think it's a great predictor for what's going on in the country and what's going to happen in November. It's just all good news. We're just dancing here today. CBS reported on the election today. They said, according to the analysis by CBS News, Walker won with strong support from Republicans, Tea Party loyalists, and a majority of independents. Well, duh. But I think that just speaks volumes for what's going on across the country. And the rumors that the Tea Party has died have just been put to rest. All of that took care of itself last night. The Tea Party is not dead. Independents are figuring out what's been going on over the past many years. They don't like the socialist policies that have been creeping in little by little across the country. And in a very blue state, they spoke out in waves and went up against huge, big union money to make a statement and say, no, you know, we're not doing this anymore. We've had enough. And I think that this is just a sample of what you're going to see in November. And all along, the polls were really tight. You know, they were saying 3%, maybe at the end, right before the voting and the election. I think in a blue state like Wisconsin, to have a 53% to 46% majority over that big union money that was just working to get that vote out, it's a phenomenal message, and it's a great thing. It's a great thing for the country. It's a great predictor for what's going to happen in November. And let me tell you something. It's all about the Constitution. The people are waking up to what's being taken away from them. They're waking up to what is important to them in this country, what our founding principles are. And if I was a rhino, if I was a Republican rhino, in any state, and especially Missouri, I would be very worried because we're coming up on a primary in August, and the rhinos have had the luxury for a very long time of kind of coasting in on that little R behind their name and people just kind of happily going along thinking that R equals conservative values, and I don't think they think that anymore. They're waking up. They know a little bit more. They've been learning about the Constitution. They've been understanding what rights and freedoms are being taken away from them. And, it's not so safe for Republican rhinos to be elected into office. We have some good primary battles coming up here. And I think that people are paying attention. And I think that we're going to maybe see some shakeups. So if I was a Republican rhino in Missouri or anywhere else, I think I'd be thinking twice about maybe how I was addressing my constituents from now on. Let's take it a little bit closer to home. Let's come to Missouri with a little Missouri news. I was at a Republican gubernatorial event last night for Fred Sauer. He's running for governor along with several other candidates, Bill Randall, Dave Spence, a lot of other people. And I got a tip from somebody that was there about the senatorial race, John Brunner. It would seem that Mr. Brunner, who has been campaigning as an outsider, Mr. Brunner is a businessman, no previous political experience. He's running for the U.S. Senate, going to try to go to D.C., make a difference, has been cozying up to some big money campaign donors as of late. The Post-Dispatch and the St. Louis Beacon have both reported that Sam Fox, a huge major campaign contributor in many of the races across Missouri in the past, has become familiar with Mr. Brunner and attended one of his fundraisers recently. Now, Mr. Brunner, you know, like I said, has been campaigning as an outsider, you know, a political outsider, not just generally a Washington outsider, but a political outsider. And I kind of wonder what this says about him and his campaign since he's cozying up to these big money donors. I mean, we know from looking in the past that big donors like Sam Fox and Sinkfield and all of the people that were involved in the China Hub deal, all of those people that send huge bucket loads of money, wheelbarrows full of money to the legislature on both sides of the aisle, generally have a tendency to have a lot of influence, you know, in Washington, D.C. and in Jefferson City. So it's kind of interesting to know that Sam Fox is supporting Brunner, and let's just kind of wait and see how that irons itself out. Maybe we can ask him some of those questions at some upcoming candidate forum. Interesting to note also that Mr. Brunner, as of the end of March, was leading in campaign contributions. Now, I'm not exactly sure where all those contributions were coming from because those donations did not reflect any donations from Sam Fox at the time, but he has $2.6 million in the bank, whereas Todd Akin comes in second at $1.9 million and Sarah Steelman comes in third at $1.1 million. All of them have a great deal of money. It'll be an interesting race, and we'll just kind of see how that all plays out in the future. We'll keep an eye on that, and we'll keep you posted. We have a really packed show for you tonight. And it all kind of maybe plays off of yesterday's events and the great turnaround election and the uprising of the Patriot Movement and how people are changing the way they think about government and what they're expecting in their office from their office holders and in their offices. Tonight we have some representatives from Concerned Women for America to talk to us about some great workshops that they're putting on all across the state. They've got a whole line of workshops to educate the folks. We've all become very aware of how important it is for us to understand what our Constitution is all about and how it shapes our government and our role in maintaining that government. We're going to talk to Bill Dallas from Champion the Vote. He's working with some folks at CWA. And we've got the Missouri Precinct Project ladies with us tonight. He's also, Bill Dallas and CWA and Missouri Precinct Project are working to put on some programs to help you. We'll talk about that. We'll have Brian Hook on later as well from Missouri Journal to talk about Missouri economics. And we'll wrap it up with Tom March from Lock & Smith with some more Yankee Doodle legislative alerts. But for tonight, as I said, let's start off with, I want to introduce to you a very good friend of mine. This is a lady who has worked very closely with Concerned Women for America for a very long time. She's here tonight to tell us about this upcoming series of seminars that's being presented by Concerned Women for America, hosted by Dr. Earl Taylor. All information on how you can become better informed about being a constitutional conservative. Good evening, Laura. How are you this evening?
Having me on tonight. Yes. Concerned Women for America, we are. We're hosting a statewide tour and seminar program for Dr. Earl Taylor, who is he's actually the president of the National Center for the Constitutional Studies. He's also a nationally acclaimed constitutional expert. He's going to be conducting these half-day seminars at various venues across the state of Missouri during the last week of June. His program is an educational and I would say inspirational presentation on the founding of the United States. His half-day Making of America seminar will reacquaint or maybe even, I guess, possibly acquaint some people with the Founding Fathers' original formula for freedom, prosperity, and peace. And the program's going to address their perfect plan for liberty and for solid political and economic principles from the Constitution to run our government, all the way from the preamble through the amendments will be covered. Actually, many of the Constitution-loving patriots from across the state are familiar with Dr. Taylor. He actually has a 12-part educational DVD series that he does on the 5,000-year leap. It's kind of like a companion study guide program that he does. It's on a DVD. Many groups around the state, like CWA, have sponsored some of these video classes. So some of your listeners may already be familiar with Dr. Taylor. And it really is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have him live and in person here in Missouri. So he's also a great speaker, expert on the Constitution, and he's been teaching it constitutional history, I guess, for about 31 years, both high school and college. So, and now he's traveling around the country offering these limited engagements, and we are just really blessed here in Missouri to have him coming the end of June.
Well, I am familiar with that DVD series, and actually and how CWA has been providing that series for people to benefit from for a very long time. It's a great education. There are things, nuances about the Constitution and the history and the meanings behind why things were done the way they were done and what, how you can participate more actively in your government and understand it. It's a great series. So, given the state of events in the last couple of days, Laura, you know, with the great Walker win and the Patriot uprising across the country, I think that's really happening. What do you think is the relevance? How do you think the relevance of this kind of seminar across the state is going to help us?
Well, you know, John Adams once said that liberty can't be preserved without a general knowledge among the people. So I just think it's really important for us to become educated and aware of, you know, how our government operates, you know, the foundational aspects of it, in particular the Constitution. I mean, that allows us to be able to live by it and protect it, and I think that's really what a lot of the people in Wisconsin were trying to do. They were trying to, you know, reassert the people's law rather than ruler's law, and I think you, of all people, know how really important that is, and so if we're going to be engaged, we have to be enlightened, and I just want to highlight that enlightened part, you know. So I think really what this program does is it enlightens us. It really kind of gives us the Constitution. It's kind of like our weapon in a way, you know, to protect ourselves and our liberty. So we really kind of need to know how to use that weapon, I guess, is kind of my analogy. And I think the people who would attend the Making of America seminars would leave with that, you know, educated, equipped, and empowered feeling to really, you know, to go ahead and protect their freedom. So I think it's really important for us as we're moving ahead into this 2012 election cycle, too.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, because actually, I mean, we are facing tyranny. Our rights are being taken away from us every day, and a lot of people don't know how to fight back. So,
and this is a great starting place for them to really start to understand how they can.
Absolutely. So tell me, you've got several locations, several times and locations all across Missouri. CWA has worked, I'm sure, very hard to coordinate this in a very short period of time to be able to bring Dr. Taylor into all of these locations, dropped in for all these specific events. Where and when is it happening?
All right, well, yeah, as I mentioned, they're half-day seminars, and they're all across the state. He's going to actually be starting on Monday, June 25th, here in St. Louis County in Lima at the Cliff Cave Library. It'll be 6 to 9 p.m. that evening. And then the following day, on Tuesday the 26th, he'll be in Hannibal from 12:30 to 3:30, and then he'll be in Fulton that same day from 6 to 9. On Wednesday, he will be in Independence 12:30 to 3:30 again, and then later in the afternoon, Lake Summit, 6 to 9. On Thursday, he'll be in Belton at the Belton Community Center from 12:30 to 3:30, and then that evening in Harrisonville at their community center, 6 to 9 again. And then he's going to, his final program, his wrap-up, will be in Sykeston at the Clinton Building from 12:30 to 3:30. Registration is only $5, and that's just for the seminar materials, for the handouts that go with the program. And there's also, there's no charge for pastors, not even for the material. And we just are asking people to get registered in advance by, Thursday, June 21st is our registration deadline. So if you want more information on how to register, your listeners could go to Concerned Women for America, Missouri. We have a Facebook page. Or you could go to the Concerned Women for America website and just click on the, there's a map there, and you just click on Missouri, and that'll take you to our page. And if they're interested in information about Dr. Taylor, also more information about him and his Making of America seminar at the National Center for Constitutional Studies website, and that is www.nccs.net.
Great. And we are actually going to have Dr. Taylor on the show next week and talk to him a little bit more in detail about how what he intends to deliver in these seminars. And I can tell you, I've seen these DVDs and I've listened to him speak. He's a dynamic speaker and he delivers the message so well. You will be not only informed and educated, but entertained, and you will actually really enjoy this seminar. And there's nothing, Missouri Grassroots Coalition is all about restoring and preserving constitutional values and principles to government and empowering and enabling the voice of the people to do that. So this series of seminars, there's no better way to do that. So if you have an opportunity to drop into one of these locations, like Laura said, the first one is here in the St. Louis area and all across the state, and we will put that information up on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website as well. And yes.
No, I was just going to say thank you. I mean, we think so, too, and I think your listeners would as well agree. So he is very dynamic. And also, while I'm thinking of it, before I forget, you and I both homeschooled, and so I just thought maybe I'd throw something out there to any of your listeners that are homeschoolers and encourage them to come to the program, too, because as homeschooling parents, we know how important it is to make certain that not only we understand these principles thoroughly, but that we're able to teach our children and that they understand them too. And I really feel like his program would be great for even middle school kids. I think sixth grade and up even. So I would encourage people to have their children attend too.
That's an excellent point because as we know, and you and I both know, Laura, we are women of a certain age who came up through the public education system or even maybe in private school where, you know, civics just has fallen, but it's been chipped away at mm-hmm. over the generations, and we have not been taught the founding principles from the government. So,
what he teaches, you would not learn in schools, and it's all from primary source documents too. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fabulous. So before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about Concerned Women of America. I've worked with Bev Allen I know you've worked with her for a really long time. She's our Missouri director here. She's a fantastic woman, and she works endlessly, tirelessly. Tell us about Concerned Women for America and what it does and what Bev does for Missouri.
Yep, sure. Concerned Women for America is actually the nation's largest public policy women's organization, and they strive to educate and equip women on public policy issues, areas such as like life, traditional marriage, education, religious liberty, national sovereignty. CWA really tries to be at the forefront of these issues, and they have been for 29 years. We have a presence in almost every state, and CWA is very committed towards working towards reversing the decline that we're seeing in the moral values in our nation and also...
It's all about the culture.
Absolutely. Good. Also working to help protect our God-given freedoms. Our motto is prayer paves the way, but action possesses the land. And that really is so true. CWA is an active group. I mean, we're out doing stuff all the time. There's something for everybody. CWA lobbies at all levels and branches of the government, from Congress and the President to state legislators, all the way down to local municipal governments. We hold educational meetings the second Saturday of every month. We have live speakers. We do it on current topics, might be on current legislation, for example, which is kind of similar to something you do. We have salt and light classes. We provide classes on worldview, Christian history, the Constitution. We have hosts, co-host a lot of programs with other groups that have similarly aligned issues that they work on. Also, I'll just real quick, our second Saturday meeting is actually this Saturday. We hold them at Friendship Village in Chesterfield in their theater from 9 to 11 a.m., and everybody's welcome to attend. And this Saturday we're actually going to be talking about something we're going to be talking about a little bit, and that's getting out the vote during the election cycle.
Excellent. We'll be discussing that a little bit later on in the program. That's great. Actually, Laura, can you tell me a little bit about Bev and her contribution to CWA? She's a fantastic woman. I can't say enough good things about her, and evidently there are a lot of other people who feel the same way.
Oh, you know, absolutely. We are so blessed to have Bev Allen here in Missouri as our state director. She does. She works tirelessly all across the state. She lobbies. She hosts educational programs, and she truly, she's a friend, a mentor, an inspiration to so many. I know, especially even for my own daughter and myself, too. Actually, this last year at CWA's National Conference, Bev was honored with the 2011 State Director of the Year Award. And, you know, and part of this is because of the presence and impact of Bev and her team here in Missouri. It was kind of amusing at I was actually there at the conference when they did it. And when they were announcing Bev's award, they were talking, the award committee chairwoman, I guess is who she is, she was talking about how they had never seen such a write-in campaign for the State Director of the Year Award. Bev actually received more nominations than any other single nominee ever in their history, and she had received nominations not only from the people in our group and members of CWA, but she got them from other lobbyists across the state. She got them from leaders of other conservative groups and even from like a dozen or so legislators themselves. They even kind of joked she'd probably done, you know, a pretty good job of teaching us how to lobby, so...
Yeah.
We did. We lobbied. But anyway, so, yep, she's been serving as the state director for 17 years, and she just really has done just a great job.
Yep, she certainly has. I mean, that's true. You just can't find enough good things to say about her. And Missouri doesn't – people just don't understand how positively she's affected the legislature and the issues here in Missouri. And actually, Laura, we have a caller who wants to ask a question. Can you stay on the line for just a minute?
Okay, sure.
Hello, caller. Who am I speaking with?
This is Debbie. Thanks,
Hi.
Lisa, for taking my call.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling in today. You wanted to ask a question about CWA?
Yeah, this Concerned Women for America that you're talking about, it sounds like a really great organization, and I just want to know, how do I join? How do I get joined up with these gals?
Laura, do you have information on that?
Oh, wow, yeah. Actually, yeah, we have, you can join, and you can become a regular member. We even have like three different levels of membership. You can come in as what we call like a citizenship level, and that's only $25 a year. And we have a patriot level, which is $35, and we have a $50 liberty level. So, yeah, we would love for you. I mean, just you could come to our Saturday meeting this Saturday that I was talking about earlier at Friendship Village in Chesterfield from 9 to 11 a.m., or you could actually just get a hold of us by email at CWA. Of Missouri, that's CWAOFMO@hotmail.com, or check us out on Facebook. So, yeah, we'd love to have you come, Debbie.
Well, great. Thanks, Laura. It sounds like a great organization. I can't wait to be there on Saturday and meet you all.
Oh, great. Make sure you come up and introduce yourself.
Thanks
okay,
for calling
I will.
In, Debbie. We appreciate
okay.
your call.
Thanks.
Call
Lisa.
Again soon. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Well, Laura, thank you very much. We appreciate you being on with us today and all of that great information. We'll have you back again because we want to promote this event. And the event, again, starts on what day?
It starts on Monday, June 25th here in St. Louis at Lee May at Cliff Cave Library.
Okay. And nice. And we will have all of the contact information up at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can go to Concerned Women for America website at CWFA.org or their Facebook page.
Yep.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, Laura. We'll be talking to you again very soon.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate you having me on. All right.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay. And to piggyback on that, we have such a full lineup for you tonight, and it's all about getting out the vote and understanding your rights and all of your and educating you on the Constitution and empowering you, really. If you're educated on the Constitution, you're really empowered to control your government. So we have another guest with us tonight that's working with CWA, and our next guest, Missouri Precinct Project, we have Bill Dallas with Champion the Vote. He's here to talk to us about the work that he's doing with these two great organizations here in Missouri. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Good evening, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. So tell me, Bill, tell me about Champion the Vote. You are the president and the CEO of Champion the Vote, and you're based in California?
That's correct. And our whole mission is to get people engaged in the process. There are too many people, as you know, Lisa, that aren't engaged. You know, the vote, there's nothing more powerful than we have in our country, and unfortunately too many people don't realize that. So our whole mission as an organization is to encourage people to vote. And if you're not registered, we encourage you to get registered. Some staggering statistics. In 2008, President Barack Obama had 31% of the adults vote him in to be president of the United States. I know some of your listeners go, what do you mean 31%? Well, that's how many people of the adults actually voted. And the reason is there are 220 million adults in the United States, but in 2008, only 118 million people voted, which means 102 million people did not vote, which means a minority of people determined who the president of the United States was. And so what our whole mission is, through technology, as well as a lot of services we provide, all free, it's to get people both registered and then get those people that are registered out to vote, because nothing changes in our country without the vote. What we've got to do is help citizens realize that they have the power and that one vote really does make a difference, and we cannot neglect that one vote.
Absolutely. Those are abominable numbers. It completely negates the Electoral College. It completely negates everything that the Founding Fathers set up for everyone to have a voice in controlling their government. That's just
Let me give you a personal story. Yesterday was our primary here in California. My wife and I went down with our daughter, and we went to our local elementary school where they hold the voter that we're going to take place in. We go ahead and we, you know, give our ID, although in our little town you don't actually have to give it, but we did. And then we go in and we pull our, through the computer machines, and we cast our votes. And for us, one of the important things was there was a bond measure on, and this bond measure was to put a bond on all the citizens in our little community. We obviously voted no because we don't believe in raising taxes. Well, we followed and monitored it all last night on the web and woke up this morning, and it passed. Even though we had voted no, it passed. And so now there's going to be a bond measure, and it's going to increase the amount of money that we need to be paying in our, out of our budget household. Here's the interesting thing. It only passed by a total of 27 votes. 27 votes. And the reason was it needed 55% of our community to pass in our county. 55%. But because only 5,000 people voted, 5,000, and 10,000 people could have, but they just chose not to show up to vote. So 5,000 people voted, 10,000 people did not. Of those 5,000 people, it was a margin of 27 people that could have made the difference. So now these 10,000 people that did not vote, they're going to be assessed a fee for a bond measure that they didn't even participate in, yet they could have. And now let's make it practical to Missouri. In Missouri in 2008, the presidential candidate for 2008 in Missouri won by 3,900 votes. Missouri, obviously, as you know, has millions of people that live there. But there are so many people that aren't registered and that aren't engaged in the process. So what we've developed is tools to help people get engaged in the process. I'm going to mention a couple of them because I want to get very, very practical. There's two tools that we've developed, and you can find all of this by going to championthevote.com. Everything we do is free. One is we've created a very simple way for people to register to vote. They put in their state, and they can download a registration form. They mail it in, and boom, they're registered. I actually use our system to register to vote because last time I was registered, I lived in a different county. So I actually use that. It's right there, and it's called Register Vote. Here's another fascinating statistic, Lisa. that 12.5% of all people who believe they're registered or not, they've either moved like I did, or they haven't voted in a long time, so they've been pulled off the voter records, or the data never got into the system. And because of that, they're not registered. So this is a Pew number. Pew Research did a report. 12.5% of people who leave the register are not. So we've developed a tool that's called Are You Registered? You can find it by going to areyouregistered.org, or it's right there at championthevote.com. And you put your information in, and it will tell you if you're registered or not. If you're not, then you click on our form, and you download from your state a form, and you mail it in, and then after a couple of weeks, you'll be in the system, and you'll be registered and ready to vote. But what the beauty is with this Are You Registered tool is we launched it yesterday with David Barden, who's one of our partners, and we had over 160,000 searches. Searches were happening at 100 searches per second. Because not only were people trying to see if they were registered, they started seeing if friends or neighbors or people they went to college with or their cousin that lives three states away, and they started putting in different information to see who was registered. And then our tool allows you to email them saying, hey, you know, Aunt Betty, you're not registered. Why don't you register? And so this tool, we're encouraging everybody in Missouri to go to areyouregistered.org and put information, find, make sure you're registered, and then look some other people up. It's called a voter lookup tool. You look people up, and then you email them, and let people know about this tool. Get the word out, because we have to get more people registered, because if we're going to go ahead, and I heard a word earlier on the call talking about tyranny, well, the way that tyranny happens, as we all know, it's when good people decide to do nothing. It's when we just sit there and watch, and we allow a minority to dictate. So now's the time, if we want to take back our conservative roots, we do it by the power of the vote. We do it by raising up conservatives to get out there to register and vote.
Well, those numbers, those search numbers, tell me one really significant thing. And we talked about it at the top of the show. The Tea Party is not dead. The people are energized. This is going to carry us to November. This is a signal. All of these little signs are signals that the people have had enough. They're ready to return to their constitutional conservative values and roots. And I think we're going to see just a surge of voters and conservatives come back to the polls. This is a great tool. So, Bill, can you tell me a little bit about the work that you're doing with the ladies, the great ladies at CWA and the Missouri Precinct Project here in Missouri?
Well, what we're doing is we're providing them tools and technologies, again, all of these are Champion the Vote, to enable them to be able to mobilize the people in the precincts all across Missouri, because we believe there are people that are concerned that they need to, they realize that we need to get more people engaged in the process. So what we're doing is we're partnering with some of the groups that you mentioned to give them the technology and the tools that they can then mobilize the people in their community. And so we provide the infrastructure at no cost. And then we ask people just to use these tools to get people mobilized. So, again, you can go to any of the websites, CWA, you can go to any of the MOP, you can go to wherever groups that are using our tools, or if some of the people on this phone want to go ahead and access it, you can just download these tools at championthevote.com. Again, we encourage everybody to look themselves up to make sure they are registered, and then find other people they know to go and search at areyouregistered.org. So we provide the tools, the people in Missouri provide the manpower, and together, if we can get more conservatives engaged in the process, then we really could see a transformation in our country.
Okay, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Bill Dallas, President and CEO of Champion the Vote, championthevote.com. And we hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you for that great information, and thank you for working with the folks here in Missouri to help us get the vote out.
Thank you, Lisa.
Have a great evening. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with the ladies from Missouri Precinct Project and talk about the projects that they've got going there to help us get that vote out. We'll be right back. Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Lisa Payne Nager. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour. If you'd like to call in, the number is 347-677-1835. And I am here on the line with Frida Keough and Judy Sofka from Missouri Precinct Project. They're here to tell you about a great a seminar that they've got going on about, to help you get energized and help get that vote out. Judy and Frida, how are you this evening?
Great.
Fine. Thanks.
If I could just follow up on Bill Dallas's comments.
Sure. Go ahead, Frida.
He made the comment that Obama lost Missouri by 3,900 votes. You know, we have 3,600 precincts in Missouri. That is 1.5 vote per precinct that Obama lost. I don't think he's going to let that happen again.
Well, that's a very slim margin, but we're hoping that we can do a much better job in November.
Right. And whenever MOP talks to groups and people, we always point out to them that they should sign up for Champion the Vote because it's a great tool to have.
Yeah, and they do great work all across the country. They've been on Glenn Beck recently talking about it, and I think that they're spreading the word all across the country to get that tool out. So, ladies,
right.
Real quickly, we're running kind of long, but I want to make sure that the people know about what you've got going here. You gals have done just a fantastic job of organizing people across the state to help get people registered to vote. Right now, you're working on a great event for July 14th. Winning in November. Something I did want to mention, though, because I think that this is a significant thing and probably due to a lot of the work from you ladies spreading the word and getting the word out, there are a number of individuals who have filed to become committee men and women. That number's just risen dramatically. I know it has here in St. Charles County. And tell me some of the efforts that the Missouri Precinct Project has put forth to help that number grow.
Well, it's just whenever we talk to people, one of the goals of the Missouri Precinct Project, besides voter registration, besides getting people to the polls, is to get people involved locally. Pay attention to what their city halls and their township meetings are doing and run for those positions to start turning the party around from the ground up. In St. Louis County, we have 56 committee men and committee women position, and in addition to the incumbents, we have 35 new people that filed for those positions. We have the same thing going on in St. Charles County, lots of new people filing for those positions, and across the whole state, people have filed for committee men and women positions in record numbers. And I think in one or two elections, we can turn around the party, make it more responsive, do the things that need to be done instead of just telling us what to do, we'll tell them what to do.
Absolutely. Giving the government back to the people, that's fantastic. So, Judy, tell me a little bit. Missouri Precinct Project works on issues of voter fraud, getting people to the poll, finding poll workers and things like that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, well, our mission statement is, to quote it, is to restore constitutional principles and conservative values by engaging conservatives in grassroots politics, which kind of dovetails with what you were talking about earlier with Laura. We have basically a four-pronged strategy. Our main focus, with us being named the Missouri Precinct Project, of course, is to promote the idea to people to, we believe in working from the bottom up. So we want people to take control of their life and their government and the most local level, which would be your central committees within each county. And in those central committee positions, there are approximately 30 to 40% of those positions that go unfilled in the state and, in fact, in the nation. So this is a great opportunity, as you mentioned, for our new people, our constitutional conservatives, to fill these positions and to, you know, bring with them the principles and the values that we find to be important and restore integrity to politics as a result. So that's one of our main focuses, and we've had a lot of excellent feedback statewide from various folks, like Frieda mentioned, that are getting involved in the process where they never even had given it a thought before. We try to give them the tools, the education, and the knowledge of how to go about doing that. Many states have precinct groups like we are, and we felt that Missouri needed to have that same advantage, so that's what caused us to form the organization. Again, we also work with Get Out the Conservative Vote. We utilize programs like Champion the Vote to do that. We'll be working, the third prong of our strategy is to train and encourage poll workers kind of beyond what they get from the election board to watch out for anomalies that might happen at the polling places.
To eliminate voter fraud.
Voter fraud, yes, exactly. And then the fourth prong would be to build and maintain a conservative database of conservatives so we can have a more united voice as we, you know, encounter issues on the state and national level that we can all come together on and have more impact. So that's kind of how, and we accomplish this by kind of like most grassroots groups, we try to motivate, educate, and activate people to get involved in their communities at the local level with the thought that, you know, we believe more in the trickle-up theory than the trickle-down theory. We believe if we can, you know, kind of stack the deck with constitutional conservatives from the bottom up, that it will eventually, you know, move
and,
through the
and
layers
the
of government.
Absolutely. So as at the grassroots level, you ladies have organized this wonderful event on July 14th, winning in November. Tell me very quickly a little bit about that event.
I can go ahead and tell you about that. It's going to be at the Pillar Foundation. It's on Saturday, July 14th. It will be an all-day seminar. The cost is $25 per attendee, and it includes box lunch, beverage, and training materials. We will have a more, we're not quite sure the order, but the two seminars will involve two separate issues. One would be helping to prevent voter fraud by becoming a poll worker, which will feature True the Vote that we're also cooperating with. And then the other session would have to do with getting out the conservative vote. And we just learned today that our guest speaker will be Chris Littleton from American Majority, who's the executive director in Ohio for American Majority. So we're really looking forward to that. A Pillar Foundation is located at 15820 Clayton Road in Ellisville, Missouri, 63011. You can get information about the event from going to our website, and we will have information there for that. You can
name your website, Judy. What's your website?
It would be missouriprecinct.org, and it's just the abbreviation, moprecinctproject.org. And then we'll have a link to, they will be linked over to American Majority, where they will have a sign-up page for the event. We'll also have an event notice on Facebook and on FreedomWorks that they can, you know, find out the details of the event and sign up also.
Okay, that's great. Ladies, we'll also have this information up at Missouri Grassroots Coalition on the website there so that you can get that information. And we'd love to have you ladies on again, maybe again next week, talk a little bit more in depth about this wonderful seminar that you're putting on July 14th. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Lisa.
Thank you.
You guys have a good evening. Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with Brian Hook, and he's going to give us a quick update on the Missouri economy. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
The government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Good evening. We're back here, Missouri Grassroots Radio, your Culture Vigilante Hour. This is Lisa Payne Nager. We're happy to have with us tonight Brian Hook of Missouri Journal. Good evening, Brian. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm really good. We are running really long here tonight, and I'm so sorry, but you wrote some very interesting articles last week that I kind of wanted to give you the opportunity to give us a recap on. Brian writes Missouri Journal, a blog called Missouri Journal, and he follows Missouri economics very closely, and he's been following the job numbers. So kind of fill us in on the job numbers. I was kind of surprised to see that St. Louis is lagging behind the rest of the state in Missouri jobs.
That is true. That sort of always seems to be the trend. The unemployment rate is usually higher in the city and the county than it is in some places in the rural area. Usually, like Springfield, is usually lower. But the job situation has been turning, maybe getting a little bit better. But St. Louis, while still in improving a little bit, it's just sort of lagging behind the rest of the state.
So, you know, I mean, I've talked to you about this before, and I still don't believe these jobs numbers that they come out, because I think that they don't have information in there about retirees and people that aren't actively seeking work that would like to have work, things like that. So do you think that that could be reflected in some of these numbers here in St. Louis?
I think that is some of that is reflected there. I mean, that's some of the reason is the labor force is not improving. The unemployment rate did drop, but the labor force in the St. Louis area is not improving as well and as fast as in other areas.
Okay, let's talk about foreclosures here real quick. In Missouri, the number of foreclosure sales during the first quarter totaled over 3,100, up 22.3% compared to the previous quarter.
Yes, and that foreclosures sort of depends on how you look at it, whether that's good or bad. If you're in the market to buy, more things are being sold. If you're being foreclosed upon, it's not good.
So it's not a very good indication that the housing market is making a good recovery here in Missouri, because we rank the third for cheap foreclosures.
Well, I mean, that again depends on how you look at it. I mean, if you're buying a house, that's good. So it just depends on if you're buying or selling on that one. But and the problem is to compare states on that one. Each state tends to have different rules about how fast the foreclosure process works. So we might now just be getting into some of that. And if the market, once we finally start to get rid of some of the houses that are foreclosed and are be able to resell those, then maybe the market can actually start to turn, but we still have to go ways to go in that process.
Right. The bounce back just doesn't seem to be happening as fast as we had hoped. And Governor Nixon tours the state to sign the Veterans Funding Bill. Now, this bill, with all the controversy of the Missouri lottery money going to education, not going to education, this way, that way, a bill was passed in the legislature this year, HB 1731. Some of the money from the Missouri lottery is going to go to veterans housing, yes?
Yes. And then they replaced most of that money from another source, but then they took the money out. So I've been told that my headline that I had on that was a bit misleading, saying veterans funding was shorting the children's programs. But in essence, veterans are getting more money, and some of the children's programs are getting less.
Well, that doesn't sound misleading to me. And because the Missouri Constitution states that at least 25% of the budget has to go to education, and we know that it's more like 40 or 50% if you go K to 20 through the, you know, college education and that. That's a lot of money for education. So it would seem to me that they wouldn't want to be taking money from education for, not that we don't want to fund veterans housing. That's a good thing to fund, but from education, it seems a little interesting that they would take it from that aspect of the budget.
I think one of the parts that is most concerning is that they're including a sizable jump in what they're estimating to be gaming revenues. And if that doesn't happen, even more will be cut. I think it's just a good example of they're going to spend $1 billion more, or $750 million more than what we're spending this year. But they're playing around with $14 million for either veterans or early childhood, when maybe, I think, at least politically, it'd be better to go and take some of that away from, you know, corporate welfare or something like that, instead of, politically, I think that would be a much wiser move. But
Exactly. Because both of those are very hot-button issues for the people of Missouri, education and veterans funding. So, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul from those two, I agree with you, from those two areas just doesn't seem right. Well, thank you, Brian, for being with us tonight. I'm so sorry. I wish we had more time to talk about these issues, because there's certainly Missouri budget is a big issue in the minds of most Missourians, the economy and jobs. We'll have to have you back real soon. You can read Brian at Missouri Journal and St. Peter's Patch. You also write for St. Peter's Patch, but every week you'll be getting these great updates on Missouri Journal from Brian. Thanks, Brian, for being with us tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to take just a real, real short break, and we're going to come back and wrap up with Tom Martz and do a real quick legislative Yankee Doodle legislation alert, and we'll be right back.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Varner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for our protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The tide is turning. It's been a good evening. It's been a good week so far for Missouri constitutionalists. And we have Tom Martz with us tonight. We're here on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Lisa Payne Nager. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour. We can maybe take a quick call from anybody who has a question on our Yankee Doodle legislation alert if you want to call in, 347-677-1835. Hi, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing quite well. It's a sunset and it's a beautiful evening.
Oh, yes, it is. We're kind of running long. I don't know if we're going to get all three of the pieces of legislation in that we wanted to talk about, so I'm going to let you pick. What Yankee Doodle legislation alert, you know, this is legislation that is kind of unnecessary legislation. It doesn't really do anything to help the public, except it might be a great campaign issue for people to campaign on. It's usually a hot-button issue and gets people riled up, but actually, if you read the legislation any further, it doesn't do a lot for shoring up your liberties and freedoms. So, Tom, you've picked out some legislation this week. What's
my
your favorite?
My favorite is Senate Bill 755. Sponsor is Senator Mayer.
Okay, tell me about this piece of legislation and why it should be a Yankee Doodle legislation alert.
This piece of legislation is where our legislature dons referee uniforms and they create the penalty of excessive celebration in houses of worship.
Excessive celebration?
Actually, the way the summary reads, the person commits a crime of disturbing a house of worship if such person intentionally and unreasonably disturbs a building used for religious purposes.
Okay.
By using profanity, rude or indecent behavior, or making noise.
Oh, okay, there's your angle. Okay, you know, when I was reading this bill, I was looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, so it's a redundant piece of legislation. Don't we have laws against disturbing the peace? I was looking at it from the angle of if someone, an outsider, was trying to, kind of like the, you know, for the Patriots for during funeral processions, you know, against the military. If they had people trying to disturb under those kinds of circumstances. But I can see if you have a very lively service and you're a little rowdy in certain denominations, that you could be arrested for disturbing the peace, maybe?
Well, by the way this reads, I mean, a person commits the crime if they engage in such behavior within the house of worship or so close to the building that the services are disturbed. And it doesn't really say who has to proclaim this to have occurred. So if you have an individual sitting in the pew who doesn't like a throaty type people coming in and standing up saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, and just getting into the service, well, I guess they could call the cops and have them arrested.
So do we need another piece of legislation to do this? I mean, aren't there disturbing the peace laws, and there's also some assault injuries intentionally. If you intentionally injure someone, don't we have laws against assault and lewd and lascivious behavior? I mean, isn't this a little redundant?
This bill in itself is a redundancy.
Okay, and this bill went through. It passed.
Oh yeah, yes? It's sitting on the governor's desk, waiting for him to hopefully veto it.
Okay. Well, okay, Yankee Doodle legislation alert. And the person who put this through was, again?
Senator Mayer.
All right.
Or Mayer, however you pronounce it.
Send an email to this senator and let him know that we don't appreciate this electioneer politicking with redundant, ridiculous legislation. Tom, we're running so long tonight, and I'm so sorry. I would love to bring you back next week if you're available to talk about at least the other two pieces of legislation that we had pulled out. And maybe a third, if that's okay with you?
Absolutely.
Tom is from the Locke & Smith organization. You can find out more about Locke & Smith where?
At lockeandsmith.com. Locke is spelled with an E.
And Tom is running for House of State of Representatives?
State. Yeah, State Rep 131.
Okay, and you can find out where?
At Vote Tom 4, the number 4, Missouri, or Mo.
Okay, we'll see you next week. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it. Sorry to have to cut you so short.
No problem. Have a good evening.
Thanks, you too. Okay, that about does it. We've had a jam-packed show. We're going to have we'll have Tom back next week. We'll have more on MOPS and the CWA efforts to get out the vote. And we will see you again next week. Culture Vigilante Hour, Lisa Payne Nager. Thanks for being with us. Oh.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.